Tim McNally. Welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirits Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, Brian Diaz here with you. Welcome to the unofficial start of the weekend here in the Crescent City, friends. Yes, at NOLA Drinks, we always recommend that you read your briefing papers. If it says, don't congratulate, don't congratulate. I guess he forgot to remember something on a previous briefing paper. I hear you. Hey, friends, we got a good show for you here today. We're going to be spending a little bit of time talking about French Quarter Festival, as we have been quite a bit, but this time, and again, I'll be doing this too, we're going to be talking about the food. And we visited with Rebecca Sell and Heather Twitchell not too long ago on the show. They are with French Quarter Festival Incorporated. Heather, particularly, is the beverage and food manager for what I think is the greatest music festival in the world, French Quarter Festival, coming up April 12th through the 15th here in New Orleans. And what we did this time is they did a media preview not too long ago where the different food vendors that are going to be out at the festival, mostly local restaurants here, of course, we're previewing their dishes that they're going to have on sale during French Quarter Festival. And I had a chance to chat with a few of the folks. So we do a couple segments with Troy Roth, who is with the Omni Hotels. And they have, of course, the noted restaurant, The Rib Room, there in the French Quarter. We also chat with the folks from Lakeview Harbor, Mrs. Wheat's LA Meat Pies, Ralph Pacina from Creole Cuisine Restaurant Concepts. They have the new place, Flamingo Agogo, which is going to be out there at the festival. And then we close things out with a really interesting interview with Dwight Henry. And you may know that name. He's the proprietor of Winks Bakery. But also of note, Dwight is he's a movie star. He was the star of Beasts of the Southern Wild. He's a star in 12 Years a Slave, been in a bunch of movies, got some stuff coming up. So we talk a little bit about his film career. And of course, we talk about Winks and what he is going to be serving up at the festival. That's an interesting chat. Friends, we're also going to talk a little bit about Bloody Marys. Because why? Yep, we got the Bloody Mary Festival coming up this weekend. Another festival that we're going to talk about coming up this weekend after the interviews with the French Quarter Festival food vendors is Hogs for the Cause. What's the connection? Bacon. I love me some bacon. Bacon and Bloody Marys, bacon at Hogs for the Cause. That's the Friday night portion of Hogs for the Cause. It's bacon night. We'll talk about that after the interviews, as I said. Some things that I wanted to mention happening in town this weekend, or actually really going on now, started yesterday if you're listening on the radio. The Tennessee Williams New Orleans Literary Festival is happening. It's an annual event, 32nd annual, I believe, this year, celebrating the literature, of course, the life of Tennessee Williams, but it's a very broad, much broader thing. It brings in more than 130 authors, actors, and musicians, so it features all kinds of stuff, live music, plays, performances, workshops, all kinds of really cool stuff. It's a five-day event. It provides professional writing education to more than 200 area students. The organization supports year-round literary programs in the community. They like to nurture up-and-coming, as they say, literary and theatrical talent through contests and readings, which go on throughout the festival. It brings in more than 1,700 poems, short stories, and one-act plays. There's lots of really cool stuff happening going on. Some things that are highlights, for example, there's going to be a full production of A Streetcar Named Desire. That's going to take place at the Le Petit Theater right there in the quarter, which is actually just a few doors down, apparently, from the apartment where Tennessee Williams wrote A Streetcar Named Desire. There's master classes on what makes a good writer, literary discussions, staged reading of the 2018 Festival one-act play contest winning entries. There's the music, for example, the Pfister Sisters are playing at the Palm Court Cafe, and the title of that show is What Was Playing on Tennessee's Victrola. I guess the idea is what music Tennessee Williams was probably listening to or what was around him at the time when he was here in his spiritual home, as they say, New Orleans. If you're familiar with Tennessee Williams, you can imagine there's also a lot of stuff for folks in literature in the LGBTQ community. So a really neat program. If you're interested in the different events and different things, have different tickets. So just go to TennesseeWilliams.net for more information there. Again, TennesseeWilliams.net, the Tennessee Williams New Orleans Literary Festival. And that goes on through events and things are happening through Sunday. Friends, of course, want to make a note. Tom Benson, the owner of the Saints and the Pelicans, passing away. That news actually broke while the show, I believe, was airing last week, which we had taped some of it earlier in the day. So our condolences to the Benson family. Certain things that I've read, Gail Benson, his wife, is dedicated, as she has said. People started asking these questions already. Are you keeping the Pelicans here? Or, you know, what's going on with the Saints? And everything's good. All right. It's Tom was old in poor health. great citizen of New Orleans and a great man. And our condolences again to the Benson family. Just a little note there. Friends, I wanted to also mention something really cool that my wife Sylvia and I had a chance to go to on Monday evening. Monday evening was St. Joseph's night. And that is, of course, for those of us around here may know, where a lot of the Mardi Gras Indians come out. And a colleague of my wife is a decorative artist in town, and a colleague of hers who is a master mason and plasterer, who is also connected to the Mardi Gras Indian culture, I believe, the Yellow Pocahontas and the Treme, invited us to come. And this was open for anybody to come, but you know, it was really nice to have a special invitation from a participant. And there was a really cool thing that went on. There was a book release. The book is called Fire in the Hole, The Spirit Work of Fayaga and the Mandingo Warriors. It's a really cool, we picked up a copy of the book. It's a really neat book, a coffee table book, great pictures, interesting stuff about the downtown Indians in particular. And so this was put on also in conjunction with the Backstreet Cultural Museum over there on Henriette DeLille Street. And yeah, you can go check that museum out. I highly recommend that. And the book is really neat. I haven't had a chance to go through too much of it, but there was a really cool, it was a second line, had the Mardi Gras Indians. You had the Treme Brass Band out there. Let's see, you had also, the Grand Marshal was Oswald Bow Monkey Henry. Big Chief Sun Pie and the Northside Skull and Bone Gangs were out there, and the Baby Dolls were out there. So it was really cool. We'll be posting a little bit of a video on our Facebook page and in the very near future about some of the sights and sounds of that, the Fayaga there in the Treme. Really cool stuff. A little bit of news, friends. Wanted to note that the controversial surveillance camera proposal here in New Orleans, we've talked about that on the show a little bit before. The idea in general was that the city was going to require bars and restaurants, places essentially where alcohol was served, to put cameras, if they didn't have them already, put cameras in the bar. And if they had cameras already, any of these cameras would feed to a central location that could be monitored at will, essentially by, the New Orleans Police, Homeland Security, the FBI. So this was, you know, meaning that people could look into what was going on at the bar without a warrant or something like that. Now, most bars already have surveillance cameras. And if an incident goes down, restaurateurs are more than happy to provide the necessary footage from their security cameras to help an investigation, help solve a crime, this sort of thing. There was a lot of concern that this was a significant invasion of privacy. Now, lots of places already have security cameras outside. I'm a big advocate of that. I have no problem with security cameras being outside a venue so that if some incident went on and a perpetrator needed to be identified or timing of going into a place or coming out of a place, have no problem with that. I think all these places need to have functioning security cameras and that this footage becomes available if there is a warrant or, you know, the owner offers it up for an investigation, that sort of thing. I think that's great. But putting cameras inside venues, I think, raises some serious right to privacy issues. Here's the news, is that the proposal was tabled by the city council. And I think the idea is, let's leave it up to the next administration, the incoming administration here in the spring, to pick it up and maybe look at it. We don't know really where it's going to go. But there was one little interesting tidbit that came out that it hasn't really gone away. There are two bars, Chuck's and The Hangover, both of which had recent shooting incidents, basically come into a consent agreement with the city to have cameras installed of this nature that could be monitored at will, as I've just described, in exchange for them not losing their liquor license. So this whole thing's kind of not gone away, maybe sets a bit of a dangerous precedent there. It's sort of, if you get a slap on the wrist or something, and shooting incidents inside or outside of bars is unacceptable. Don't get me wrong. But this sort of trade-off of, you know, putting these cameras in if something bad has happened to maintain your liquor license maybe does set a bit of a dangerous precedent. I guess the good news is, at least from my perspective, that the surveillance camera proposal has been tabled at this point. That's my thought on that subject. So we'll keep you posted on that. If something else develops from it, if it rears its ugly head once again, we will be sure to let you know. Friends, we're going to take just a little bit of a break here on the show. When we come back, we're going to start chatting with some of the different food vendors from the French Quarter Festival. And then when we come back from that, we're going to talk about, as I said, Bloody Mary's Bloody Mary Festival, Hogs for the Cause, a little bit about barbecue in New Orleans, probably a couple other things. Take a little break here on the Noel Drinks Show. Friends, come on back. Just one more. I'm gonna take you out, darling, lonely town. I may be
Are you tired of drinking the same wines? Switch it up. Try the Kreutz Family Cellars wine. Kreutz Family Cellars is a small, family-owned winery in Sonoma County that makes wines from some of the most prized vineyards throughout Northern California. Each bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines has a magnolia on the label. The magnolia is a symbol of the family's southern roots and their way of life. True, honest, and fun. Look for the magnolia and pick up a bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines today.
Time for lunch? We've got you covered at Sobu.
Chef Juan Carlos whipped up special two-course lunches that start at $14.
Try our Creole Cuban sandwich and pair it with a bowl of our gumbo.
Of course, Sobu's full menu is also available.
And don't forget Sobu's version of Commander's Palace 25-cent martinis.
Available Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Join us at Sobu for our speedy lunch at 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Sobu,
life is meant to be lived, not endured.
Savory crab meat cheesecake and decadent white chocolate bread pudding are Palace Cafe originals. For nearly 26 years, Palace Cafe has been serving award-winning cuisine in the historic Warline Music Building. Located on Canal Street at the edge of the French Quarter, Palace Cafe is open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and open for jazz brunch on the weekends. Make sure to try one of their refined classic cocktails or a glass of wine from their nationally recognized wine list. Palace Cafe is located at 605 Canal Street.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Yeah, thanks for tuning in, friends. Once again, we are here at the offices of the French Quarter Festival, and we're doing a little food preview today of all the good eats that you can expect at the world's greatest music festival coming up in the middle of April. And I'm pleased to be joined by three of the food vendors that are here. Troy Roth, who is with the Omni Hotel and the Rib Room, right?
Correct.
Welcome, Troy. Right.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here, man.
Thanks for making time, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And Brian Wheat, who's with Mrs. Wheat's Meat Pies, right?
Yes, Mrs. Wheat's Meat Pies. We've been one of the longest acting vendors out here, so looking forward to another year.
Awesome. Perfect. Perfect. And then also Jeff Levy, who is of Lakeview Harbor.
That is correct. That is correct. We've been out here, I think, going on 8 years.
Okay.
8 years.
Great. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Now, Brian, you were saying that you guys have been involved vending food at the festival almost since its inception, yeah?
Yes. We've been around for quite a while. We initially started with three booths at three different locations out here.
Okay.
But to be a little bit more fair to everyone else, we've downsized to two locations, one at Jackson Square and one at the Riverfront location.
Great. Excellent. What about you, Troy? You guys been out here at the festival for a number of years?
Yeah, the Rib Room has been out for a number of years. Of course, you know, the for the Rib Room and the Royal Orleans Hotel, the most famous po' boy we have is the Debris po' boy.
Yeah, right.
And it's just...
Yeah, you gotta throw the line out, because Jeff is telling you to throw the line out.
Yeah,
I know. Go ahead. Mr. Docu-Mart.
No. Yeah, but no, and it's, you know, we don't do many off-site things at all, but the French Quarter Fest, for us, is an absolute must, you know, being the what we consider the locals festival.
Sure, absolutely.
So we look forward to it. My team looks forward to it each and every year.
Troy, tell us a little bit about the Rib Room for the listeners that we got a lot of folks who listen to the show that listen on podcasts that are not in New Orleans. So tell people about it. It's in the hotel, in the Omni Hotel.
Yes, it's in the Omni Royal Orleans Hotel at the corner of St. Louis and Royal Street. And even though the name is the Rib Room, some of the, you know, best prime rib down here, also, you know, knowing our location, where we are, being in New Orleans, of course, there's abundance of seafood. Rib Room's been there since the hotel opened in 1960. And it's interesting, I've just been there a couple of years, but it's interesting to see that we still have folks that came have been coming since the hotel and the Rib Room originally opened. Their children and now their grandchildren are coming, and not just for special occasions. And of course, you know, one of the more popular days we have is Friday lunches.
Sure.
Where we have wash bucket martinis, Belvedere martinis for $2, and that just, you know, keeps Friday lunches just popping.
Yeah, and you guys do with the Friday lunches too. It's one of the traditional spots, right? The people Friday before Christmas, Friday before New Year's, Friday before Mardi Gras.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and it's we're already booked out for next year. We're expanding now into our private dining rooms, to accommodate because it's a wait list every year.
Wow, that's something. Yeah, it's a good spot. Well, Jeff, do me a favor. Tell us, with Lakeview Harbor, you guys are transitioning. You're in between spots right now.
Yes. Definitely in transition. We've been working on it since February 7th to kind of get things. We had some things in place. And you know how those crucial things take a little time to nurture. And so I'll be able to come out with some information possibly by the end of the week. Cross our fingers because I don't want to, you know, jinx anything.
Sure.
And we're going to come back with a vengeance with our known burgers and potato and pizza and steaks. And, of course, we also, if you've noticed the last year or so at Lakeview Harbor, we've featured some new special lunch items, some seafood, oyster po' boy, shrimp po' boy, stuff like that. But, you know, my whole thing is to focus on one of the best burgers in New Orleans, along with our sister, Port of Call, and Snug Harbor, because we all come from the same family.
Right.
And I think that everything works out fine. Everyone's going to be real happy with the new location. You know, we'll be very excited. And I can't wait to come out with that. But like I said, we don't want to jinx anything that's taken place.
Sure.
You know, and things happen for a reason. You know, yes, we were over there for 25 years. And yes, it's a great part of New Orleans to be, you know, in the middle of Lakeview. But, you know, there's all other spots in the city towards the lake, towards Paris Avenue and all that, that have some great places to enjoy and sit back. And I think that the people, and we had a real loyal last day at Lakeview Harbor that was amazing. And you know, we've had 25 years of those loyal customers, and I know they'll come back, and I know they'll be happy with the new spot, and I know they'll be happy with everything that's going to be taking place.
One of the things I remember reading, Jeff, is that you were all very committed to the neighborhood, so you're looking to stay.
Absolutely.
In Lakeview.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Right. Exactly.
Great.
So we're going to fit in just the same way and do the same things, if not a little bit better. You know, because you learn. You learn every year. So I think this will be a nice little learning curve for everybody.
Great. Excellent.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Brian, so tell us a little bit about Mrs. Wheats. And obviously, I'm going to guess by your last name that you got drafted into service.
Yes. Well, we are a small business owned business, and it actually started back in the early 80s. These meat and crawfish recipes are straight from my grandmother's book, and that's where it's Mrs. Wheats, because it's named after my grandmother, Helen Wheat, from Natchitoches, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So in the early 80s, my dad moved down to New Orleans, and that's when he participated in the World's Fair and did really good out there, unlike most people. And that's when he decided to, instead of doing a local restaurant, to turn it into a production facility. So then we can take the meat pies and crawfish pies and spread them across the nation. So that's kind of where it started. And now where we're at is, we have a great grab and go item that you can find at just about any corner store around the New Orleans area. And then our mini pies are great appetizers for local restaurants, casinos, suites inside of the Superdome. So different locations where you need a few hand food items to pass around. That's where our mini pies come in great.
Great. So let's rotate background. But with you guys, so what are you doing here for the festival? What are you serving up?
We have our two original items, the spicy meat and then the crawfish. Mm-hmm. And this year we're introducing two new items that will also be in our mini size. So it'll be 1 ounce bite-sized pies. And we're doing a crab and artichoke that has the real crab meat, artichoke with the cream cheese base filling. Absolutely delicious. And then we're doing a shrimp and andouille pie. It's like a shrimp and andouille gumbo based filling style mini pie.
That sounds pretty good.
Yes. And then you'll also be receiving 4 pies per order. And one of the things we're doing this year is any one item is $6, but any 2 items combined is $5 a piece, equaling $10 for 2 items.
Okay, gotcha. Great. Now, Troy, you mentioned that you guys are doing, you said already, but you're doing the roast beef debris po' boy.
Prime rib debris po' boy.
Okay.
And also, we're doing chicken andouille gumbo.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Prime rib po' boy, $8, and the chicken andouille gumbo for $7.
Great.
So, we keep the prices there just to move it, just to see the folks have fun.
Excellent. Well, that sounds delicious. I'm getting hungry thinking about it. What are you guys doing, Jeff?
Well, we're doing the Louisiana Blue crab cakes made in-house with a homemade remoulade sauce over a spring mix. that makes it healthy and delicious. And it's a great product. It's fresh. It's not fried. We do actually bake it in a convection oven, so they're not fried. It leaves the flavor in the true crab meat, the blue crab meat.
Okay.
And then we do an alligator sausage kebab that's made fresh. And then we make a homemade Zydeco sauce made with a mustard, jalapeno, molasses, and brown sugar, and some salt and pepper. And then we also do a Louisiana crawfish bread.
Okay.
That's real delicious. So it ranges anywhere from $7, $8, and $9.
Okay.
And it's well worth the value. And to mention, we're up at the riverfront. Right next to the big gazebo where they have some of the great music right there. So,
great.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's do this, you guys. Let's, if you don't mind, can we take a little break here? We're going to take a little commercial break, and we'll come back and chat with you a little bit more. You guys got a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, great. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Nola Drink Show. Come on back.
The French Market offers daily entertainment and delicious food and drink options throughout our six-block district. Whether you crave raw oysters or fresh produce, authentic confections or healthy daiquiris, you can find it here. Sit at one of our cafes and hear live local music. Enjoy a muffuletta, po' boy, salad, or cheese plate in the farmer's market. Check out our pop-up farmer's markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays for even more fresh food options. History is being made fresh daily at the French Market. Visit frenchmarket.org for food, drink, retail, and event listings.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Looking to shake things up or find the bartender in you? We mean literally. At the New Orleans Drink Lab, you'll do just that. We teach you the history and tradition of classic New Orleans cocktails. Then you get behind the bar and make them. Master classes are fun, interactive, and hands-on. Great for small groups and team building. Come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. You mix, muddle, and master the art of cocktail making. Visit us at 343 Barone Street. Or go to our website, drinklabnola.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with Sazerac Rye Whiskey. In 2008, the Louisiana legislature made the Sazerac cocktail the official cocktail of New Orleans, affirming what New Orleanians had known for over 150 years. You just can't beat a good Sazerac. The Sazerac cocktail is the quintessential New Orleans drink, perfect for celebrating the arrival of fall festivals, football season, or just being proud to be a New Orleanian. For the official recipe, visit www.sazerac.com.
Hello, this is Ron Bartholomew, and to my great city of New Orleans, I'd like to introduce to you Touch Vodka. This artisan handcrafted ultra-premium vodka is uniquely distilled from Florida's finest wildflower honey and American grain. Touch also produces key lime, Valencia orange, and ruby red grapefruit selections that are infused with natural oils of locally sourced fruit, which results in a unique 80-proof vodka with no sugar added or coloring. Touch is now available at Doranac's, Cello's, and the Corporation Grill and Bar, and many other locations across Louisiana. This holiday season, sit back and relax and enjoy Touch Vodka.
Hi, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy, suggesting that great handcrafted Pinot Noir from Oregon doesn't need to be expensive. Consider Yamhill Valley Vineyard Estate Pinot Noir from the oldest family estate in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. It's rich, ripe, wonderfully balanced, and it's only about $20 at your favorite New Orleans wine shop. Yamhill Valley Vineyard. Top quality doesn't need to be expensive if you know what to drink. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Yep, we are at the offices of the French Quarter Festival, FQFI, French Quarter Festivals Incorporated, and they are the folks, of course, who put on the French Quarter Festival. 35th anniversary, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this year coming up. And one of the great things about this festival, friends, is not only is the largest showcase of Louisiana music anywhere, the food and drink is second to none, and I'm pleased to be joined, as you know, by Troy, Jeff, and Bryant, who are all three food vendors here. And you guys were talking a little bit about your locations before and what you're serving up. Let's talk a little bit, Troy, I'll throw this to you first, a little bit about just what it means, you touched on this, but what it means to participate in this terrific festival.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, it's a locals, you know, we consider the locals festival,
And it also gives us the, you know, with the number of dining opportunities in the city that we have now, it's a chance for us to reintroduce to the, you know, to the folks who are from here, introduce us to folks who have just moved to town. And as you can see from the attendance from the last few years, it gives us the opportunity to introduce ourselves to new visitors to New Orleans as well.
Right.
So it's just a great opportunity all around.
That makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. Brian, what about you guys? Anything you want to add to that? What does it mean to participate in the festival, especially since you guys have been doing it for so long?
Well, what I can tell you for the company, it definitely is part of our history just as much as it is the history of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. We know New Orleans is known for good food, music, and a great time. And that's what I tend to do for all of these local festivals. And, you know, 35 years, I'm 34 years old, so this is literally what I know all my life. Uh-huh. So like I said, it is a part of my blood, coming and going and being part of it and just making a great food experience for those in town and those coming from out of town to, like I said, enjoy the food, music, and have a great time.
That's so great. Makes a lot of sense. Jeff, what about you? You want to add anything to what these guys said?
Yeah, I'd have to concur with Troy over there. You know, the French Quarter to me over the 35 years has meant so much because, you know, it's the pearl of the city of New Orleans. And it originally was designed to showcase what the French Quarter was doing back 35 years ago. I think it was in conjunction with the Spring Fiesta, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And I was back in those days, and it has just grown. I think it was designed, too, because we had such a lull during the summertime in New Orleans between the heat and, you know.
Well, my understanding was, I think it was Dutch Morial, right? There was a major
Correct.
Sidewalk
he was.
Repair
he
thing
was.
That went on in the quarter, and yep. it was to celebrate the sidewalks.
Right.
Getting fixed to get locals to come back to the quarter.
Right. I think that was in conjunction, too, with kind of like the World's Fair
okay.
type thing there, too. I think that was both of them, just kind of like, what's that mayor's name? Moon? I mean, Mitch? He had the streets on Bourbon Street done so nicely. But no, let's get back to all the good stuff.
There's going to be one extra stage on Bourbon
Troy's
Street.
Troy's the one
nice
that made
pavement.
Me say that. No, I'm just kidding.
Jeez.
Well, love it. But anyway, no, all seriousness. And I've seen it in the 35 years just grow and grow. And we've been so happy to be part of such a great institution to showcase the city of New Orleans. Any chance I have, I always speak up because I have a love and passion for the French Quarter. My family, I'm the fourth generation. My family was in the French Quarter all these years, running businesses, running hardware stores, running different restaurants, bars. It's just been amazing. So I feel like it's something that's part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I take such a great interest. And that's why Lakeview Harbor takes such a great interest because they're so connected locally to the city. Mm-hmm. And we want to bring that name back into the limelight of what's happening in the city of New
Orleans.
Gotcha.
Yeah, great.
So, yeah.
Well, you guys, Troy, why don't you take this one first, and I'll ask these guys the same. We're noting here, of course, the growth of the festival going from one day and I think maybe a couple thousand people, 1,500 people, something like that on the first one, to now hundreds of thousands of people that show up. What are some of the challenges of serving food to over now 4 days to that many people?
The transport.
Because okay.
we don't hold food. You know, we don't like to hold food, and we don't hold food in what they call either hot holding or cold holding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're very fortunate that we're just a couple of blocks away. So we have caravans that'll come over throughout the day. But we have our partner vendors that deliver our bread, deliver to the site. So that's a major, you know, advantage, you know, that not just us, but everyone else who serves anything with bread has as well. But really, it's the transport because it's so crowded
mm-hmm.
now. And, you know, the guys with the carts are just nimble as can be.
I was actually just going to ask you, because you guys are close enough that it doesn't have to involve a vehicle, right? You
Correct.
Can just cart it on
Correct.
Over.
We use a vehicle
hotel.
Day one
okay.
to deliver some of the heavier equipment and, of course, the Mr. fans. But other than that, you know, our guys, yeah, we're fortunate to be close enough just to cart it over.
Yeah, that works great. What about you, Brian? You guys, you've kind of set yourselves up for portability, I think, with what you serve, right?
Yes, we try to. And, you know, challenges in New Orleans, I don't know if I've ever heard of that before. So, you know, but really with these festivals, our challenges are the same as everybody else. You know, keeping the product safe for everybody to, you know, enjoy, transport back and forth. But really, that's all part of the fun when it comes to these festivals. You know, the setups, the breakdowns, seeing people that you don't see except for once a year coming in from different areas. And, you know, before the chaos hits, that's, you know, ideal times for catching up and seeing people that, like I said, you may not see all the time, but you have grown to know over 35 years.
Sure. So, got it. What about you, Jeff? I mean, it's a lot of work, right? I mean, it's 4 days or kind of long days, right?
Yeah, staffing. I think a lot of it's timing. You know, they let us get here early in the morning each day. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're in that time frame, you can pretty much handle it. As far as containers, I'm a stickler on refrigeration, which I have in the booth there. And also, I'm cooking everything fresh.
Okay.
Which makes a big difference. So it goes from a kind of like a thawed out, you know, cold enough, chilled enough into the convection ovens, onto the steam tables, and out to the customer. Because that's my pet peeve. Something, too, for the people to know is that, the French Quarter Fest over the last several years have gotten together with their own kind of like health department where they check temperatures and,
I know,
which is really good because, you know, it's to the benefit of the people that are out there that are concerned, that takes place. And but outside of that, I mean, sometimes if it's really busy, because you can never tell, you know, from one day to the next, Saturday is a really good day, Sunday's a really good day, and you may be short, maybe a half a pallet load of a product that a good friend of mine over at Omni Orleans is going to allow me to use this year, you know, which is really helpful, very helpful.
Right.
Because the whole object is to keep the product safe, and especially the crawfish bread and crab cakes.
Sure.
And alligator sausage. That sure. stuff has to be, you know, it's a perishable type of item.
Now, I heard you guys negotiating this storage agreement.
Did you love it? Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah.
That
he
was
got
great.
Me from a pallet to down to a half a pallet.
Half a pallet.
And twice the price.
Very good. Oh. Very good. Now, what are you getting out of this, Troy? That's the question.
All the crab cake and alligator kabhava can eat.
Right.
Gotcha. Well, you guys
to brie or not to brie?
There is no question.
There is no question.
That's what I'm going to get
I'm
out of it.
I'm glad somebody did actually say that. We could not.
Right.
This is a great way to close this out. You guys do me a favor. Brian, tell people where they can find you. Locations and tell people online how to check
well,
you out.
Well, locally, like I said, at just about any restaurant, any corner store, you can purchase some pies. Moving forward, we have a website, meatpies.com, that will be linked into our Facebook page and our Instagram page, Mr. Meat Pie for Instagram. But you will have a buy now section coming soon to the website.
Oh, cool.
So you'll be able to take this great item at these festivals and then purchase them and have them shipped to your doorstep. So
excellent.
That will be coming soon.
Great. And Jeff, what about you guys? Where people can stay tuned where you're moving to when you can make that announcement.
Right. We're going to try to go on social media with it. I have a friend, Brian Diaz, that's over at WGSO, if you know him or not. Maybe I can...
Clown. Complete clown.
Yeah. He's the wealthy one that I know very well. But,
you still get me confused.
Yeah, no, really, you know, confused and say. No, but anyway, the word will get out, like I said, and we're happy to get to that point because, you know, people are already, you know, texting me, emailing me, and asking me, man, we miss that burger. We were out by the lake. And we miss that burger. So, you know, even Troy's, you know, and is ready for it. So, you know, hopefully by the end of this week. But meanwhile, we're going to be at the riverfront next to the gazebo.
Yep.
And we're also going to be involved this year with the gala, which is coming up this week on Thursday, serving the crab cakes and sharing the NOLA 300 years of existence.
Great. Jeff, what's the website for? Do you guys have a website?
Not right now.
Not now. Okay. Yeah. So we'll just stay tuned, and you'll let me know when you
right.
Something
I'll get
happens.
Back to because we've changed all that. We got a whole new look. And
gotcha.
So I don't want to announce that yet.
Gotcha.
We have a whole new workout.
Excellent. Troy, can I tell people where the restaurant is again and
yes,
where they can find you?
621 St. Louis, the corner of St. Louis and Roll Street, Ribram, New Orleans. com.
Excellent.
That's where you can find us.
Excellent. Thanks, you guys. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank
I look forward
you.
To Thank seeing you. You in a few weeks at the festival.
If not sooner.
Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the show. Come on back.
Oregon wines are taking over New Orleans. The reason? They're delicious. Next time you're shopping for wine, grab a bottle of Sass Wine. Located in the South Salem Hills of Oregon's Willamette Valley, Sass Wine produces small amounts of handcrafted, high-quality wines that include Pinot Noir, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, and Rosé of Syrah. A perfect balance of full fruit with fine, supple tannins and firm acidity is what makes truly great wines, and you'll find that in every bottle of Sass Wine you drink.
Savory crabmeat cheesecake and decadent white chocolate bread pudding are Palace Cafe originals. For nearly 26 years, Palace Cafe has been serving award-winning cuisine in the historic Warline Music Building. Located on Canal Street at the edge of the French Quarter, Palace Cafe is open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and open for jazz brunch on the weekends. Make sure to try one of their refined classic cocktails or a glass of wine from their nationally recognized wine list. Palace Cafe is located at 605 Canal Street.
Goodbye, Joe. I got to go. Me oh my, oh.
Welcome back to the program. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO at 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Yes, we are here at the offices of the French Quarter Festival in the Jack's Brewery building. And it's a great day today because they're previewing, as you know, some of the food that will be sold at the festival. And we're pleased to be joined by another guest here, Ralph Pausina. And you're the welcome, Ralph. How you doing?
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Excellent. And so you work with Creole Concepts.
Yeah, Creole Cuisine Creole Restaurant Concepts.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always forget the middle C.
It's long.
and so you're with, and you're just educating me on this, so you're with the casual division.
Yes, sir.
So that means that you guys have a whole bunch of properties in the company.
Yes. The casual division is Pierre Maspero, Cafe Maspero, Gumbo Yaya, Royal House, Charter House, Creole House, I said Charter House. Flamingo Go Go is our newest, and then in Metairie we have Mason Jar.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was you guys. Okay, cool. So it's a big company, friends, and as we're talking about here, that Ralph does the casual division. So you guys here at the festival this year, you have two of the properties are going to be serving food.
Right. Well, we'll have Flamingo Go Go, and we'll be serving our shrimp Flamingo Agogo, which is a fried shrimp tossed in a red pepper aioli with grilled pineapple and macadamia nuts.
That sounds good.
We're doing a Cuban with garlic fries. We're also selling garlic fries. Mm. And we're doing a coconut sorbet with a mango sauce in a waffle cup.
Great. Where's that booth going to be located?
Booth is up on the river, up on the...
Yeah, so in the Waldenburg Park area?
Waldenburg Park, up in Waldenburg Park.
Yeah. Gotcha, okay.
And then our other booth, which is, I believe it's in the Jack's lot, is doing char-grilled oysters.
And that's Royal House, right?
Yes, this is Royal House. We're doing the char-grilled oysters. We're doing a fried fish beignet that gets a cane syrup and a hot sauce, so it's like a sweet buffalo kind of treatment.
Okay.
And then we're doing a fried oysters on top of spinach dip in a pastry shell with bacon and Parmesan cheese.
That sounds pretty good too. Well, one of the things I asked a few of the guys that were on before today, how long have you guys been participating in the festival?
I believe we've been doing it for, Royal House has been doing it for 5 years or maybe a little longer.
Okay.
And this is Flamingo Go-Go's first year.
Where, and tell people where the two spots are, the restaurants are.
Royal House is on the corner of Royal and St. Louis. Terrific restaurant, great atmosphere. Fresh oysters, char grilled, oyster shucker right there in the place. Lots of great Louisiana seafood and a little bit to the Italian side on some of the dishes. Mm-hmm. And that's on Royal and St. Louis. And then Flamingo Go-Go is at 869 Magazine. That's the corner of Magazine and St. Joseph, one block from the World War II Museum. And that's a really fun place. It's kind of a fun vacation kind of place. We have a beautiful giant courtyard with a big fountain in it and a big screen up on the wall. And we have a deuce and a half army truck that seats 16 in the back of it.
Oh, really? I've
never been there. And okay. It's like vacation food from all around the world. Lots of fun stuff there. But the patio is the most fun at that place.
Is that a fairly new property?
That opened in December of last year.
Yeah, okay, right. That explains why I haven't been in there yet. I always like going to the Royal House, Ralph, because One of the things I like about that place is the people working there.
Yeah.
The servers are always characters, mm-hmm. and it's just really good service, of course, but just friendly and a lot of personality.
It's a great friendly atmosphere there. Great, really, really top notch.
Yeah, excellent. So now, when you guys do participate in the French Quarter Festival, this was another question I asked the other guys as well. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to the company to be involved with this? This event.
Oh, it's a way to get out there and get into the public in a different way than just your store. Mm-hmm. You're able to get out and reach out to people and show them what you can do and what you have to offer at the restaurant. It's not as much about making money as it is about making friends, and meeting people and talking to them and just find out what they're doing and hope they enjoy your food and maybe they'll come see you.
Yeah, right. And it's a good marketing exercise, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah. A lot of eyeballs, a lot of locals. But then, as you know, every year it's just more and more tourists come to the event as well, which is
great. And it's interesting. Like Thursday is definitely locals.
Yeah.
Friday lunch is a lot of locals, and Saturday it kind of shifts a little bit.
Right.
Saturday gets off to a little bit slower start, but finishes big. And Sunday's usually just busy all day.
Just wall to wall. Yeah, absolutely. Especially when the weather cooperates, yeah. which generally it has for the most part.
Yeah, last year was beautiful all 4 days.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you guys, when you do this, obviously getting into the quarter, the setup, that sort of thing, it's a bit of a logistical challenge,
isn't
it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you go through a significant amount of product, so you got to arrange it for it to be available. To get to the booth, it's got to be safe. It's got to be ready to use. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some pre-planning going into this.
Yeah, are you guys able to use, say, one of your local spots here in the quarter for staging and things like that?
We try to get everything on site as much as possible, even if we have to bring it to it, a couple of times a day. Sometimes we'll make an arrangement with a parking lot and have a truck nearby.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and that's so that the load in and then the load out, obviously. It's a staffing thing too, right?
Yeah, staffing, you got to have the people to do it, and then you got to make sure your equipment and everything is easy to move. Is it on wheels? Is it not too big?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I was talking with Troy from the Rib Room, and they have it pretty easy because they can just cart it over a couple blocks to the square.
Yeah. Well, that is nice when all of a sudden you realize you need something,
uh-huh.
and you can run it over.
You can run back and do that. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Ralph. How'd you get involved with the company, and what's your background?
I've been a chef for about 35 years. Okay. The last 5 years, I've been a culinary director kind of position in Chicago and then down here. And so in the casual division, we have 12 restaurants, and I just... pretty much food, everything back of the house, working with the chefs, in each store, consistency and quality and equipment issues, anything I can do to help them do their job better.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So where did you work? Are you from here originally?
I'm from here originally. Okay. I apprenticed many, many years ago under Paul Prudhomme at Commander's Palace.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
And then most of my career has actually been in other cities. I've lived in Chicago 3 times, Houston, Boston. I've only actually had a restaurant or a job in the city maybe 5 of the last 35 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, mostly it's been in Chicago or Houston or other places I've lived.
Great. Do you like doing this kind of role as opposed to being in the kitchen?
I love being in the kitchen. I love cooking, but I love the logistics and the organizing and the planning and the nurturing of new talent. I actually got out of the day-to-day operations of the kitchen maybe 20 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I just enjoy all the things most people don't like. I enjoy the numbers and the planning and the logistics and all kind of stuff. And, and I like to cook too. And when I was younger, it was a lot easier to be on the line and slam out the product. It's a bit more of a challenge now. I'm an older guy, but, I love to cook at home still. So
yeah, there you go. You get to do that. And plus then I'm guessing that the hours are a little bit more friendly for normal human existence.
Not really.
No, not really. Okay.
Because the restaurants are still open and you still have to, you still have to be aware of every phase of your operation. So you have to go at different times and see what's going on and see what you can do.
Gotcha. Now, you guys have had a lot of, you just touched on this, but I think it's pretty cool. So many people have come through the different properties that you guys have. So that's got to be a rewarding thing.
Yeah. See, in this company and then just... I guess over the last, since I became a chef maybe 25 years ago, like the head chef, There's a couple of dozen guys who, you know, work for me at various points who are now chefs around the country, and, you know, we stay in touch, and that's nice.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, do me a favor, real quick, we got about 45 seconds left or so. I'll tell people where the two restaurants are again that'll be at French Quarter Festival.
The Flamingo Go-Go is up on the river in
Waldenburg Park.
Waldenburg Park.
Yeah.
And the...
And that's also on Magazine Street, the restaurant itself.
Right, and the restaurant itself is on Magazine Street, 869 Magazine, on the corner of Magazine and St. Joseph. And then Royal House on the corner of St. Louis and Royal is going to be in the Jacksbury parking lot.
Yeah, okay, great. Right here in the quarter. Well, Ralph, thanks so much for taking some time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Yeah, good luck with the festival. I'll see you out there.
Thank you.
All right, friends, we're going to take a little break here on the show. Come on back.
Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Yep, we are here at the offices of the French Quarter Festival, and we're talking food. It's not only music, as you know, there at the French Quarter Festival, there's a lot of good food, and I'm pleased to be joined by another guest from Winx, Dwight Henry. Dwight, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
Absolutely, it's nice to meet you. I never met you before until just now, so it's a pleasure. And you were telling me, Dwight, a little bit just before we started taping here, about your story with French Quarter Festival. You've been doing it for 9 years, but it goes back further.
Yes, it goes back. When I first met these wonderful guys from the French Quarter Fest, I opened my first business on St. Claude Avenue, right now on Marigny area. And when I opened up, I was so, you know, gracious for everybody for supporting me and everything. And I had a lot of different nonprofit organizations used to call me and wanted, you know, donations, different donuts and cupcakes and everything. So the guys from the French Quarter Fest called me, and they wanted me to donate some things for this nonprofit they had for this event they was doing. Mm-hmm. So I sent them some cookies and some things like that. Forgot what I sent them. Then they called again, and I sent them some other things. So we developed this wonderful relationship. So one day I received a letter in the mail from the French Quarter Festival Incorporated. And it was a letter thanking me for all of the years, all of the wonderful things I've done for them. And they wanted to grant me the opportunity to be in the French Quarter Fest. So it was like, it was great, you know, and been doing it for 9 years now. And during that process of during the French Quarter Fest and me being in business, I was blessed with the opportunity to be in this wonderful film, independent film, mm-hmm. called Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Yeah, yeah.
And lo and behold, it was a small million and a half dollar independent film, and no one ever expected this film to win all the awards that it won. And me personally, I never expected to be thrown in the Hollywood market.
Dwight, how did that happen? How did you end up getting connected with the film?
Well, I got connected in the film business through my first business I opened up. Like I was telling you earlier, everybody that comes in my business, I make it a point to develop a relationship with all of my customers. Like when the guys from the French Quarter Fest came, we developed a relationship and I bonded with them. And then after Hurricane Katrina, you had all of these different movie companies coming in town, wanted to document everything about the storm and everything. Mm-hmm. So these guys, and my business was located right across the street from Colton School. Like a headquarters for a lot of these different nonprofit organizations that came in town. They kind of showcased what they was doing in Colton School. So a lot of the people from the film industry, from the newspaper industry, they was located their little offices in the school. So everybody used to come to the bakery. I befriended everybody. So these movie people, they came into my business. They used to put these little flyers in the bakery. If anybody want to audition for their upcoming feature film, pull a number and give them a call.
Okay.
So I never inspired to be a filmmaker, never inspired to be an actor. So one day, me and the casting director were sitting in the bakery talking like me and you talking right now, just talking about the Storm Shop, how I got in business and things like that. He always used to come in and want to know about everything that's going on in the city, even about our food. They were so fascinated about our culture, our food, and all of these things they wanted to know about. So one day we were sitting down and I said, Michael, I'm going to come over and audition for y'all movie. Since y'all come over here and eat all the time, I want to see what's going on over there across the street.
Right.
So I went over there across the street and I wasn't looking to try to get an extra part. No part I was trying to get. I was just trying to be friendly with my neighbor.
Yeah, and see what was going on. Like
and that's what we do down here. Hospitality is our signature down here in New Orleans. Absolutely. So I was being real hospitable to everybody that come in my business. So I auditioned for the film, went back to the bakery after I did the audition, and I never thought in a million years that I didn't even know what a callback was. So I got something that you would call a callback. Didn't even know what that was. A callback is huge for an actor. When you get a callback, that's like big. When you get a callback, you're doing an audition, they get you a callback. That means they're considering you for this particular role.
Yeah.
So I got a callback from Michael, and it's like, Dwight, the director seen your audition, and he loved your audition. He wants you to do another reading. It's like, Michael, I'm trying to run this food service business, and you just don't know how hard it was for me to do this first read. Now you want me to do another one? So he told me how serious the director was, and he really wanted me to do another reading. So I went on, and I done the other reading. I did the other reading, and after I did that reading, I went back to the bakery like nothing ever happened. So about 3 weeks after I did the second reading, I was already in the process of moving my bakery from St. Cloud to a bigger location. Okay. So within that time period, they wanted to give me the lead role, and nobody knew where I was at. Because I took the time, you know, that I was closing this location to open that location to take a break. So nobody knew where I was at. So actually, 2 days after I opened my new location, Michael comes to the bakery. It's like, Mr. Henry, we've been looking all over for you. The director, he wanted to give you the lead role in this upcoming feature film. And he's telling me, I got to go to Terrebonne Parish. I got to work with acting coaches. I got to do this. I got to do that. It's like, Michael, I'm trying to run a new business here. I'm flattered that y'all want me to do this. And I'm so flattered, but I can't do it. I mean, I think they offered me something like, the first offer was something like $25,000 to do this film. And it's like, the money was sounded great, but my business was more important to me because I have little kids, and I've always told them that, you know, I can pass my bakery down to my kids, but I can't pass an acting career down to my kids.
Sure,
so I wouldn't jeopardize my bakery and the success of my bakery for a possible movie career. Because nobody knew what this small independent film, Beast of the Southern Wild, what kind of impact it was going to have in the film industry.
Right.
So after I told them no, because sometimes people see things in you that they don't see in yourself. So after me telling them that I can't do it, sorry, they would not take no for an answer. They say, okay, Mr. Henry, we're going to give you some time to work things out at the bakery. We're going to come back and see if you can do this film for us. So they came back about 2 weeks later. Sorry, can't get it done. I'm trying, but I can't. I'm flattered that y'all want me to do this, but it's like, all right, Mr. Henry, it's getting a little close. We got to decide what we're going to do. We're going to come back in a couple of more weeks. I hope everything's okay then. Mm-hmm. So the next time they came back, I'm telling you, I can remember like it was yesterday. They walked in the door. It was all three of the producers, the director, they brought their bouncer with them. It's about eight of them. They walked in the door. It's like, sit down, Mr. Henry. They told me to sit down in my bakery. And it's like, you're going to do this film. We think you are an amazing person. And I think you do a great job playing this particular part in this film. So by then, I had things worked out at the bakery with one of my partners, and I got bakers in to come help me. So they made a lot of concessions for me, too. You know, they got me a condo in Terrebonne Parish. I had a driver to bring me back and forth whenever I wanted to come back.
Yeah.
They made so many wonderful concessions for me to be able to do this film. I was flattered. And after doing the film, Beasts of the Southern Wild, no one never expected this film to have an impact on the film industry my first time actually seeing it was at the Sundance Film Festival. We had a whole convoy of people go down to the Sundance. They flew me down to the Sundance. Before I did this film, I didn't even know what the Sundance Film Festival was. So they brought me down, and I'm sitting in the Eccles Theater, and 1,500 people in the audience. The theater's packed. I'm watching this film for the first time. And when that film got over and the lights came on, I mean, literally my whole life changed. 1,500 people are standing up, applauding. People all around me and Lil Nazy, they're crying. Everybody's crying. They grabbing me, and I'm like, this is new to me. What's going on here? I'm crying and don't even know why I'm crying. I'm crying because I die at the end and I'm crying. Everybody's crying and they're grabbing me and I'm taking pictures with everybody. From that moment on, my whole life changed. From that moment, I thought I was going to leave the Sundance and going back to the bakery and my life is going to be the same.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, I go back home. I have to pack a bag because I'm going to Europe to the Cannes Film Festival. That wasn't even planned. The film Beasts of the Southern Wild had so much of a great impact at the Sundance. We were invited to the Cannes Film Festival. Wow. And I thought the Sundance was big.
Yeah.
I thought the Sundance Film Festival was like the biggest thing I ever been to.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, lo and behold, the Cannes Film Festival is the biggest event I have ever seen. It's huge. And we went to the Cannes Festival and had just an amazing impact on that festival. And then, lo and behold, again, I'm thinking I'm leaving. Never been overseas in my life. Flew to France, was doing photo shoots and all of these interviews in Europe, and it was amazing. I'm thinking I'm going back home and continue on my life again. But I came back home, and they told me we are being considered for Academy Awards, Golden Globe, all of these different awards we're being considered for. So we have to go on what you call award circuit, and literally traveling from state to state, from California to New York. I would do interviews.
And you're doing talk shows, like that kind of thing? Yeah.
Interviews, roundtable interviews with reporters in every city I go to, photo shoots all day. I got thrown in the whirlwind of Hollywood. But my love was still with food. You know,
Dwight, do me a favor. Hold that thought. We got to take a quick little break here, and then we're going to come back to that story. Friends, we're chatting with Dwight Henry from Winx and Film Star. Take a little break here on the Noel Drinks Show. Friends, come on back.
Locally inspired and nationally recognized, Dickie Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter. Dickie Brennan Steakhouse serves USDA prime beef, Gulf seafood, and innovative Creole dishes. Come experience why Maxim magazine and Playboy named it among the nation's top steakhouses. Running short on time? The full menu is available in the bar for quicker and more casual dining. Dickie Brennan's 5 After 5 Happy Hour Special is back. Dickie Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter at 716 Iberville.
Cheers.
Looking to shake things up or find the bartender in you? We mean literally. At the New Orleans Drink Lab, you'll do just that. We teach you the history and tradition of classic New Orleans cocktails. Then you get behind the bar and make them. Master classes are fun, interactive, and hands-on. Great for small groups and team building. Come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. You mix, muddle, and master the art of cocktail making. Visit us at 343 Barone Street or go to our website. DrinkLabNola.com.
Slim Jordan, no.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in today. As always, I appreciate it. We are chatting with Dwight Henry, who is the proprietor of Winx, but not only that, a major film star. I did not know that you had done all of those other movies.
Yeah, I actually have two more films coming out this summer. Like I was telling you, you know, all of the films that I've done, and Hollywood is calling on me. My agent in West Hollywood been trying to get me to move out there to Hollywood and do all of these films, but my love for what I do here, my love for the Louisiana, New Orleans culture, my love for the food down here, my love for the French Quarter Festival, and everything that I do in business trumps everything that go on in Hollywood. You know, because, you know, I have a love for, that's when, like, when the film industry first came to me, I told them I couldn't do it because of my love that I have for, you know, my culture, the city, the city of New Orleans, and, you know, what I do in the food industry. And my bakery and my restaurant is more important to me than any food, any Hollywood, anything in Hollywood, because one thing I wanted to tell everybody, that I can't pass a film career down to my little kids, but my restaurant that I'm building in Louisiana, Winx, that is something I'm building to pass down to my kids, and that's more important to me than anything.
You know, and that makes all the sense in the world, Dwight. One of the things that I think people that are listening to the show locally understand exactly what you're saying. Some of the people that are listening to the podcast, wherever they may be, might go, that guy's not going to Hollywood. That's crazy. That's a crazy decision. Rather run a bakery. But if you're from here, you get exactly what Dwight's saying. Yes. It makes all the sense in the world. Well, Dwight, with the French Quarter Festival, as we're talking about here, what are you doing? What are you making?
Well,
what
I'm doing fried green tomatoes.
Okay.
And I'm making this wonderful product that's been in the New Orleans culture for years. It's called a buttermilk drop. It's a pastry that been in our culture for years. There was this bakery down here called McKenzie's Bakery.
Yeah, sure.
They were located all over. I don't know if you're familiar with it,
but they were located
all over the city. They had 60 locations.
I didn't know they had that many.
They had 60 locations. They were in everywhere.
Yeah.
And one day they just closed the doors down. Mm-hmm. And we grew up on these wonderful products. So, and that was one of the things that inspired me to open up my bakery. When McKenzie's closed down, I'm a donut maker. 1 + 1 = 2. You close down 60 stores down in one day. You leave a hole
in the market. Yeah.
You got a space. So, you know, and when I opened up, of course, nobody believed that I can do it. So that's another story, how hard it was for me to open up my first location. But it was a long, hard road. But, you know, people appreciated when I finally got open. And then I developed this relationship with the French Quarter Festival by helping them and doing all these wonderful things for their nonprofit organization. They granted me the opportunity one year to be involved in this festival. And for the past 9 years, this has been something that I've been looking so forward to, participating in this wonderful, one of the greatest festivals in the whole entire world.
It's my favorite.
Not just, and I'm not saying this just because I'm in it. And not saying it just because I'm from New Orleans. I've been to festivals all over the United States in my travel. This is the best festival in the United States by far, the French Quarter Festival.
I could not agree more. This is my favorite music festival,
bar
none, anywhere. And I mean, it's the location where it takes place, all the food. I mean, we have the best musicians in the world here.
Yes.
All that stuff comes together. And usually, you know, knock on wood here, you know, nice sunshiny spring days.
Even when it's not sunshine and it's not a great spring day, we seem to still have a great time, no matter what the situation is. We seem to thrive.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yes.
It's exciting, and it's been fun chatting with everybody.
Been great chatting with you.
Yeah,
been great. Look forward to any time we can chat up again. Anytime.
Well, I'd love to have you back on the show. I think it would be great.
Yeah,
so,
I have a lot to talk about. Well, we touched on a few things, but
tell people that we got a couple minutes, like 3 minutes. So tell people the other movies that you've been in.
Well, first movie I'd done was Beast of the Southern Wild.
Yeah.
Second movie, 12 Years a Slave. I just finished doing a wonderful film that's coming out called Warning Shot with James Earl Jones, David Spade, Bruce Dern, Guillermo Diaz, Tammy Blanchard, April Valentine. It's a wonderful film that's coming out this summer.
Is it a comedy, or just because you said David Spade, is it a comedy or is it a drama?
No, this is actually one of the first dramas David Spade ever played in.
That's cool. Okay.
All of his other films that he's done was comedies.
Yeah,
this
sure.
is a drama that he's playing in. He did a wonderful job on it with it, and I look forward to seeing him, and I hope everybody else get the opportunity to see it. It's a Warning Shot, and it's coming out this summer.
This summer, great. Tell people where is Winks?
Well, my new location is at 3135 St. Rock Avenue in New Orleans.
Excellent. Dwight, I really appreciate it. Thanks for making
great,
some time.
Great, great being here.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure to meet you. We'll do this again
Thank
soon.
You.
It'd be great. Friends, we were just chatting there with Dwight Henry from Winks. Come check him out at French Quarter Festival. He's going to have some good eats for you, just like all kinds of other vendors out there. We're going
to
be...
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the studio. Brian Diaz here with you. Yeah, we just concluded that interview with Dwight Henry, proprietor of Winks and a film star. As he noted, such films as Beasts of the Southern Wild and 12 Years a Slave. And a great talking to Dwight and a great connecting with all the terrific, I shouldn't say all, but many of the terrific food vendors that will be out there at French Quarter Festival coming up April 12th through the 15th. That's a Thursday through a Sunday, their 35th anniversary. Going to be lots and lots of great food and drink out there. One of the things that I wanted to note, too, is that Heather Twitchell, a friend of mine who is the food and beverage manager for the festival, is really dedicated to in elevating the reputation of the French Quarter Festival, not only for being the world-class music festival that it is, but also a world-class food and drink festival. And I think she's well on her way, given what I saw some of the folks we talked to, the food previews that we did. You can check out some of the pictures for that on our social media. We'll be out there covering the French Quarter Festival, as you know, coming up when it happens, and probably do a little bit more leading up to it as well. Really looking forward to it. They've released last week the full schedule. They had released who the bands were going to be probably 3-4 weeks ago, but they don't necessarily determine the exact times and stages and so on and so forth. That takes some doing, and they just put that out last week. So if you're interested in seeing the full music schedule, go to www.fqfi, that's fqfi.org, and you can also see the listing of all the great food and drink vendors that are going to be out there as well. They're going to be doing, we talked about this on the show a few weeks ago when we had Heather on. They're going to be doing a beer garden at the Mint. There's all kinds of really cool stuff to explore, not only on the music side, but the food and drink side. So there you go. We'll be sure to keep you posted on anything else developing with the French Quarter Festival. And again, as I said, we're going to be out there covering the event, which is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to take a little break here on the show, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more. We're going to talk about Bloody Mary Festival, Bloody Mary's, talk about Hogs for the Cause, both of which are going on this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to be covering that stuff. I mentioned that a bit at the top of the show, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a bit. So, hey, we're going to take a little break here on the Noel Drake Show. Come on back.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with Sazerac Rye Whiskey. It's football and festival season, and there's no better way to enjoy Sazerac Rye than in a pothole cocktail. Just fill up a glass with ice and your favorite root beer, and add 2 ounces of Sazerac Rye for a truly tasty toddy. Named after the city's most iconic of inconveniences, the pothole is proof that New Orleans never takes itself too seriously. Sazerac Rye Whiskey, the way New Orleans does whiskey.
Dad, look at what I got from school today, hot peppers.
Yes, indeed. Let me see that.
We grew the peppers, then cut them up and cooked them with packed in to make hot pepper jelly.
Wow, that's awesome. Making your own hot stuff.
Yeah, it was cool, and we're going to show them at the farmer's market.
Edible Schoolyard New Orleans changes the way children eat, learn, and live. Join us for a garden party under the stars to benefit Edible Schoolyard New Orleans. An edible evening, Thursday, March 22nd at Langston Hughes Academy. For info, go to esynola.org.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region. Producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood, or our bold, rich Petit Sirah, excellent with steak, to our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. Want a great alternative to over-oak Chardonnay? Try Yamhill Valley Vineyards Pinot Blanc, a wonderfully balanced white wine from the oldest family estate in McMinnville, Oregon, in the Willamette Valley. It's round and ripe like a Chardonnay, but without the heavy oak and sweetness of big commercial corporate Chardonnays. Yamhill Valley Vineyard Pinot Blanc. A great value under $20. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Jeff Palermo. The first woman will be inducted into the Louisiana Agriculture Hall of Distinction as 96-year-old Margie Jenkins will receive that honor tonight in a ceremony hosted by the Louisiana Radio Network. Governor John Bel Edwards says the Jenkins Farm and Nursery in Amite has been a staple in Tangible Hope Parish since the 60s.
And she is a real fixture in that industry, and I'm so glad that they are recognizing her.
Sugarcane farmer Pete Leneau from Edgard will be inducted posthumously as well. Baton Rouge police have charged a 49-year-old man with first-degree murder for allegedly beating to death his 76-year-old girlfriend. Sergeant L. Gene McNeely says Eric Augustus admitted to detectives he was told to kill his elderly friend after smoking mojo.
He then called for police to come to the residence after we believe he started coming down from the trip that he was having.
Augustus is being held without a bond. Louisiana Radio Network.
Hi, this is Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Staycation right here in Louisiana by taking a road trip along the Myths and Legends Byway in Vernon Parish. Follow the byway through no man's land on an adventure to uncover tales of the past. Create your own stories while fishing or on horseback in the Kisatchie National Forest. Either way, you'll leave with amazing stories. Plan your trip to Vernon Parish today at louisianatravel.com and staycation right here in our state, Louisiana.
The oil and gas industry is an economic powerhouse for Louisiana. Today, there are nearly 50,000 miles of pipelines operating safely throughout the state, and 74% of Louisianans support pipeline construction. Now that the court has lifted a construction halt on the Bayou Bridge Pipeline, Louisianans can get back to work, strengthening our nation's infrastructure and economy. Join the GAIN Coalition as we support jobs and completion of the Bayou Bridge Pipeline. Learn more at www.gainnow.org and follow us on Twitter at GainNowAmerica.
The French Market is a place where history is made fresh daily. From the historic Upper Pontalba building on Jackson Square to the ever-evolving Farmers Market, our six-block district celebrates New Orleans food, music, and culture through events, festivals, walking tours, health and fitness classes, and also children's workshops at the New Orleans Jazz Park. Visit our calendar of events at www.frenchmarket.org. The French Market, making history fun since 1791.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar located on the second floor of Palace Cafe, named after the Prohibition's infamous rum runner. The Black Duck features over 120 rums, as well as an extensive tequila collection. In addition, acclaimed master French chef Rene Baggio heads up the small plates and charcuterie kitchen. Join us for happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine.
Every afternoon when I wake up, I say a little prayer and drink up and thanks the Lord.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks, friends, for tuning in as always. Yep, as you know, we just wrapped up those interviews with the French Quarter Festival stuff. I made a few notes after my interview with Dwight Henry there. You know, friends, this is a great time of year here in New Orleans. It's always a great time of year here in New Orleans. And after we get past Mardi Gras, what do we have? As we always talk about, we're in festival season. Weather's been pretty nice lately. I'm not complaining. I have some people in my life that I know that don't like the cold, as they call it. I'm not calling this cold. I'm calling this nice. Haven't had too much rain, which is nice. I'd like the ground to dry out a little bit over at our place in Old Mandeville. That's where we live. It's been like a bog in our yard. Every time I go out in the backyard to our compost pile, for example, I almost always slip in the mud. It's like walking on a wet sponge. Hopefully the ground dries out a little bit, but the weather generally looking pretty good. It's a beautiful day today here on a Thursday, and also for all these events coming up each and every weekend, let's just keep our fingers crossed that the weather holds out and cooperates with all of these festivals. I mentioned at the top of the show, friends, that we've got a couple really great festivals going on this weekend, and we will be at both, going to be making the run to both of these spots, hopping around between the two. And let's see, the first one is the Bloody Mary Festival,
which is going on Saturday and Sunday, and that is taking place at the famed music club Howlin' Wolf, which is at 907 South Peters. And the Saturday event is already actually sold out, but there are still tickets available for Sunday. And I've been asked to be a judge at the festival, which is a great honor, and I'm very humbled to do so. I love me some Bloody Mary, so it's going to be really a lot of fun. This group, it's the Bloody Mary Festival. If you go to BloodyMaryFest.com to see how you get tickets for Sunday and see more on the event, go check that out. But they put this event on around the country. Coming up, they got New York City, the Twin Cities there in Minnesota, of course, and Dallas coming up a little bit later on in May. This is the second time this festival has been done in New Orleans. I went last year just as an attendee to check it out, and had a really good time. One of the things I like about it, they do these sort of two-hour blocks each day, and that you get in with your ticket, and you can taste all the Bloody Marys that are there. Lots of local vendors and stuff with some other food stuffs and interesting things to check out, talk to those folks, taste some stuff. But they try and keep it so it's not too crowded. You get 2 hours to go through, which is ample time to taste the different Bloody Marys that are going on there. And it's really neat. There's some really creative ones. So we're judging in two categories, if I'm not mistaken. The traditional side, making more of a traditional Bloody Mary, and then a creative cocktail. We're looking at, interesting garnishes, who's, as I said, most creative maybe. So lots of different things, and I tasted some really, really great ones last year, and I'm looking forward to actually being a judge this year. There's going to be a lot of great local bars and restaurants that are participating, and we'll let you know what the results are on next week's show as far as who won. I'm sure we'll be sharing some pictures and some things like that, and again, honored to be a judge, but check out the BloodyMaryFest.com. You know, as I said, friends, earlier, I love Bloody Marys. It's an interesting drink, and there's a lot of stories out there about its origin. There's really no clear origin story. It was invented in the 20s or 30s. That seems to be pretty firm. Seems to be sort of a retroactive, if you will, story where a guy named Fernand Petiot, who was working at the New York Bar in Paris, which later became Harry's New York Bar in Paris, and it was a place where Hemingway hung out. Pretty famous bar. They've laid claim to creating certain famous cocktails, including the Sidecar, which we know and love here in New Orleans, White Lady. And this guy, Fernand Petiot, claimed that he came up with the Bloody Mary in 1921. It was basically a spur-of-the-moment thing, as he claimed, and it was just tomato juice and vodka. Now, there's another club in New York called the 21 Club, and they lay claim to creating the drink in the 1930s. A bartender named I'm not going to get this last name right, Zibowicz. Something like that. It begins with a Z and ends with a Z. There you go. Sorry, Mr. Henry, I apologize for butchering your name there. But he was in charge of apparently making Bloody Marys and claims that they kind of, made it a thing. There's another attribute to the New York 21 Club, that the invention came from a comedian, a guy that hung out there named George Jessel. And in 1939, Lucius Beebe printed in his gossip column, "This is New York." It's one of the earliest references to the drink in his column. And that's in 39. So we have some firm evidence that this drink was called a Bloody Mary and was around by then. And he says that it's half tomato juice, half vodka. Then later on in the story, potentially Fernand Petiot's name later comes up again, saying that the modern Bloody Mary was his creation in 1934 and that he refined Jessel's drink. So this is all getting a little sketchy to me, but he worked at the King Cole Room in New York, which is inside the St. Regis Hotel. And he spoke to somebody with the New Yorker magazine in 64 and said he was the guy that kind of took it to the next level by adding some black pepper, cayenne pepper, Worcestershire sauce, all that good stuff. So who knows? The drink later was called a new name in, Life Magazine, I think, yes, in 1942. And they say they were calling it the Red Hammer, but it was basically tomato juice, vodka, and lemon juice. Less than a month later in that same magazine, French's Worcestershire sauce had an advertisement saying you could put the Worcestershire sauce into a virgin tomato juice cocktail that also would include juice, salt, and pepper. So there's the story. Somewhere in the 20s and 30s, who knew? Probably somebody slapping together a bit of tomato juice and a bit of vodka as a sort of hangover drink, if you will. That's obviously, as we know and love it, drinking it at brunch. I'll drink it whenever. But the idea being, of course, that you get the tomato juice and those veggies going, you get a little hair of the dog with vodka or whatever your base spirit is. We'll talk about that in a second. And then the salt, replacing electrolytes when you're hungover. So, it happens somewhere around that time. And like a lot of these cocktails, I have a feeling, you know, putting tomato juice and vodka together. Good idea, whoever came up with it. And then it just sort of organically developed as different people tasted it, put their spin on it, came up with the name, all kinds of argument about the origin of the name, whether it's Queen Mary I of England, has something to do with the Catholic Church, whether it has something to do with Mary Pickford, the famous Hollywood actress. Who knows? We'll probably never know. But anyway, there are so many great variations, friends, of the Bloody Mary. I look forward to trying a lot of these at the Bloody Mary Festival and see what people do. Of course, as we know, the traditional base spirit is vodka. But just even recently at Top Taco, there was an event centered around the Bloody Maria, which is a variation that uses tequila in place of the vodka. There's a Ginza Mary, a Japanese spin, which uses vodka and sake. There's the Red Snapper, which can be sometimes uses different things, but most notably is generally gin. There's the Michelada, which is maybe a Mexican, if you will, spin on the Bloody Mary that incorporates beer. And it's a very savory drink. I like making that one too. That's kind of nice and refreshing. I put a bunch of soy sauce in it and some other things, but all these different variations. And one of the things that, you know, it's a drink where people, you can change the garnish, you can rim the glass differently, how you make your Bloody Mary mix, all these different things. There's all kinds of different spins. It's a huge world of Bloody Marys, as we know, out there. One of the things that I like to do, you can just walk around the French Quarter here in New Orleans and go from bar, and I have done this research, friends. Okay, I'm a professional. I'm doing this for professional research reasons. But yeah, I spend a lot of time walking around the French Quarter sometimes in the morning, pop it into a different place and trying their Bloody Mary. It's always interesting to see what people do with their mix, if they make the mix themselves. Of course, we have the famous brand here, Zing Zang, in New Orleans. A lot of people maybe use that, which is fine. It's a good mix. A lot of people maybe use that as a base and then doctor it up. Some people make it really thick, of course. Some people garnish it heavily, like drag it through the garden, and it's practically lunch or breakfast or brunch. Other people make more of a cocktail style. One that springs to mind is over on Bar Tonique there on North Rampart. Only on Saturdays, they make a bacon Bloody Mary served in a small rocks glass, just a half a piece of bacon for a garnish, which for Bar Tonique, believe me, is a stretch for any sort of garnish. That's as far as they go, is a piece of bacon and the bacon Bloody Mary. But yeah, you know, and they just, it's a bacon infused vodka and a piece of bacon. It's very light, drinks very light other than the bacon part, but it's a thinner consistency of liquid. So, you know, I think it's a really neat drink to explore. It allows a lot of creativity. It's not such a rigid drink that, you know, the specs are so tight that if you mess with it too much, you're not making it right. And so it's going to be really cool to see what people come up with at the Bloody Mary Festival this weekend on Saturday and Sunday and see what people do. I can't wait. It's one of my favorite drinks. As I said, Saturday tickets are already sold out, but you can still get tickets on Sunday. Go check out thebloodymaryfest.com for more information, tickets, all the 411 that you need to know. And come say hi. I'll be out there with a clipboard in my hand. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Nolan Drink Show. We're going to be back. We're going to talk about Hogs for the Cause. Oh, and a couple other things probably to close out the show for this week. Come on back.
Hi, New Orleans. It's Laura from Sobu, and I'm here with Chef Juan Carlos.
Sobu's Got Happier Hour is 3 to 6 from 3 to 6.
It's bar bars, sips, and snacks, all for $3 to $6 from 3 to 6 p.m. every day.
Laura's got something to please everyone at the bar for Happier Hour, all for 3 to 6 here at Sobu.
And we know you'll want to try a smoky pulled pork taco or any of the other delicious snacks on our Happier Hour menu.
Sobu's Happier Hour, every day from 3 to 6, 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Locally inspired and nationally recognized, Dickie Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter. Dickie Brennan Steakhouse serves USDA prime beef, Gulf seafood, and innovative Creole dishes. Come experience why Maxim Magazine and Playboy named it among the nation's top steakhouses. Running short on time? The full menu is available in the bar for quicker and more casual dining. Dickie Brennan's 5 After 5 Happy Hour Special is back. Dickie Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter at 716 Iberville.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Thanks for tuning in today, as always, to the Nolan Drink Show. This is Brian Diaz. I am happy to be here with you, as I am each and every week on Thursday here on WGSO, 990 AM in New Orleans on the radio, legacy radio, as we say these days, and also in podcast land. And wherever you're listening to the show, as I always say, I really appreciate that. I want to note a couple things about two new ways that you can connect with the show. I did mention this last week, and I think I even referenced it before. I've been kind of teasing this for a little while, and I fully mentioned it last week, that this show, the Noel Drink Show, the podcast version is, which is basically the same version, is now part of the National Food and Beverage Foundation Podcast Network, and they just put a formal announcement out just the other day. And so the news is official. The podcast platform is up and available, and greatly honored. There's about four or five shows right out of the gate that they asked to be a part of their initial offering, and this show is one of those, so I'm very honored to be a part of that. They're going to be adding more shows. The National Food and Beverage Foundation is a great organization. Of course, one of the things that they operate is the Southern Food and Beverage Museum here in New Orleans on Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard in Central City. Go check them out. It's a really cool museum, and again, really happy to be a part of that. And then just as of yesterday, day before, I learned that the show has been picked up by Spotify, and I know that is a very popular podcast platform. So in addition to being available on Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. I think I got them all. We're now also on Spotify. You can always go to noladrinks.com, friends, to get the show, and you can link up with your favorite platform and subscribe and stream and download through those. Just go check out noladrinks.com. You can go to up at the top there on the menu is podcast, and all the information you need to get the podcast is there. So check us out, National Food and Beverage podcast platform, and Spotify, and all that other stuff. Friends, another great event, in addition to the Bloody Mary Festival that's going on this weekend, is Hogs for the Cause. It is their 10th anniversary going on tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, the 24th, so 23rd and 24th here of March. It's at the University of New Orleans Lakefront Arena Grounds, which is at 6801 Franklin Avenue here in the city. Really great event, friends. Friday, tomorrow, goes on, if you're listening on the radio, of course, goes from 3:30 to 11 o'clock, and Saturday starts at 11:30 and goes into the evening. All kinds of really cool things going on. Great bands, a lot of national acts. They're kind of going for they go for the sort of Americana theme for the most part. One band that they're calling themselves North Mississippi Osborne, which is Luther Dickinson and I guess some of the gang from the North Mississippi All Stars, along with our own New Orleans Anders Osborne. That's going to be awesome. Carl Denson's Tiny Universe is playing. Awesome. Let's see. We have a few other folks. There's different bands that are playing a lot of, like I said, national acts. The Band of Heathens, they're pretty cool. I think they're out of Texas, right? The Ico All-Stars are playing. That's going to be really cool. Hot 8 Brass Band. Oh, yeah, they're playing. And it's a really great event, friends. As I mentioned, it's in its 10th year. What it does is it raises money for to assist families that have children with pediatric brain cancer, which is a great, great cause. They raise a lot of money. It was interesting to read. This has been reported in different outlets, citing this particular article by Ian McNulty in The Advocate the other day, that when the event started 10 years ago, it was started by Renee, I'm going to probably say this wrong too, having a hard time with names today, friends, Renee Luaprier. Luapre and Becker Hall, and they started as a casual friend cook-off and with the idea of raising some money for this good cause. In the first year, they raised $7,000. Just this last year, the ninth installment of Hogs for the Cause, that's $1.3 million. And they now help families all across the country, as I said, providing different types of assistance to these families who unfortunately have children with pediatric brain cancer. So it's a really great event. 85 teams are going to be competing this year. And it's really grown. You know, as I mentioned, it was sort of a casual friend cook-off when it first started. And now you have certain restaurants that are participating. Let's see, I think Blue Oak Barbecue being one that's going to be out there. Yeah, and let's see. Blue Oak Barbecue, Central City Barbecue is going to be out there. And then this festival has even spawned certain businesses, like starting out as a team and then becoming a barbecue business. The Frey Smoked Meat Company in Mid-City, Big Boys Barbecue, which is a pop-up caterer, they're going to be out there. And they came from this festival, which I think is neat. From what I understand about barbecue festivals around the country, this one flies a little looser than others. It's not quite as rigid as some. It's still a little bit more casual, kind of doesn't take itself too seriously. And, you know, it's a really great event. I encourage you to go out there. Excuse me. You can get a 2-day general admission ticket for $49. There's another thing that you're doing too. They're doing these wristbands that are your ticket, but you can also load them up with cash, and that will speed up transactions. So I should say that a lot of the food and drink that you get out there, you do need to pay for in addition, but you can load up this bracelet with cash, and I guess just probably swipe it, speed things up. Don't have to worry about carrying a debit card or that sort of thing, or cash. One of the things you can also do if you're interested in that angle, it's a two-day general admission ticket that's preloaded with $45 in, quote, hoggy dollars, and that's $79. So $49 for a two-day general admission ticket, but if you pay $79, you get the two-day general admission ticket plus $45 loaded into your wristband. There's all kinds of VIP stuff. There's a gala dinner that's going on for Friday, the Friday evening set of events. Individual tickets there are $200. You can get a reserve table for eight for $2,000. You have to be 21 to attend this, of course. The theme this year is Hoggy Shack, inspired by the great iconic comedic film Caddyshack. The Link Restaurant Group is putting that on. There's going to be wines from Neat Wines. One of the really cool things, too, that the event features, friends, is a lot of great beers. And apparently this year they have partnered up with, let's see, who are they partnered up with? Southern Eagle, a big beer distributor here in New Orleans. And all kinds of great local draft beers on tap. Paris Strawberry, Cane Break, Urban South Holy Roller, Gnarly Barley is going to be out there, Port Orleans is going to be out there, Parish Brewing, another good brewery, going to be out there, going to have Tin Roof, St. Arnold, Bayou Teche, and a lot of great draft beers and a lot of canned beers, a lot of your usual suspects are going to be out there. But it's, again, a great cause, and it is Hogs for the Cause. So go check out hogsforthecause.org, see the different types of tickets, see the 411 that you need to know to get out there for both days, Friday late afternoon, evening, and then Saturday during the day, all the music lineup, all that stuff that you need to know to get out there. I do encourage you to go check it out. Raised an interesting question. Ian McNulty raises in his article that I was citing, talking about barbecue. One of the things that it's kind of interesting. I think sometimes people from the outside New Orleans world, if you will, are surprised to know that, you know, it's really never been a big barbecue city. New Orleans itself doesn't really have there's no definitive style a la Kansas City or Texas barbecue or the Carolinas, that type of situation where you have this iconic synonymous style of barbecue. Now, it's always been around here. I think there's a couple ways to look at it. We love to tailgate. I think we've been doing it around here in our backyards forever. Go out to the LSU game at Baton Rouge or some of the games here in town at the colleges, and there's some killer barbecue going on and has been for quite some time. But that idea of that, you know, slow cooking in the smoker barbecue that people do in these barbecue competitions, we've really only seen that kind of pop up in recent years. We've had a big rush, I would argue maybe even too much, as far as barbecue restaurants opening up in town. Really, there was kind of only the Joint there in the Bywater, and that opened up in 2004. And then really in the past 2-3 years, we've had a significant number of barbecue restaurants open up. I'm not saying that I think that there's going to be a style developed out of this. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the sort of Creole Cajun thing starts to influence. And that was one of the things that I wanted to mention. There's something that we have had in this area, not New Orleans per se as much, but of course in Cajun country, in Acadiana, out by Lafayette and the rest of Acadiana to our west, is the boucherie. And the boucherie is a traditional Cajun event, very much like a barbecue, right? I think so much of what's wonderful about barbecue and about the boucherie is it's, you know, you're not just diving in right when the food's there. It's you get together, you hang out around the grill. The boucherie, a pig is slaughtered. Typically, the meats are smoked. The intestines are used to make fresh sausages. Those are smoked. It's an all-day thing where the kids get involved. If you're qualified or even you need to learn, people are given a knife and taught how to butcher the pig. So the boucherie event to me is it's like barbecue in a lot of ways. The cultural component to it, the social component to it, something that's been going on for a very, very long time. If you've never been to a boucherie, I highly recommend that you go check one out. There's stuff that go on, especially in Acadiana, all year round. So to say that we really haven't had a barbecue culture in the area, kind of a misnomer. We've had the boucherie, but here in New Orleans, a little bit different. Things are changing, as they always do. This is a city of change, a city of tradition at the same time. So it's going to be a lot of fun, friends. Check out Hogs for the Cause, hogsforthecause.org. Check out the Bloody Mary Festival, thebloodymaryfest.com. Be sure to check out this show, NOLA Drinks, now on Spotify and the National Food and Beverage Foundation. Friends, we're going to have a good show for you next week. We're working out the details on that, and I'll let you know when I know. So until then, friends, be kind to one another, use your turn signal. And until then, cheers, y'all.